David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
So my guy Tom Izzo is out, losing in overtime. UCLA gets him 86-80. They just frittered away that game. Jeez. Had all those opportunities and did not get it done. But now the real fun starts today, Hoodie. And we get to talk to our friend Seth Greenberg from ESPN, longtime coach. And now he's a star on television. And he joins us now on the Corona Hotline. Seth, good morning. How are you, man?
A question for you. I mean, I see these pictures of you working out. I mean, like, you know, you're like Mr. America. And then I hear this. It's a little bit of fake news. I mean, what's the deal here? I mean, are you like the most physically fit man in the world? Or, I mean, what's going on?
I saw a picture of myself a few years ago and went, okay, that's it. No shot. Got a younger wife. I got to get in shape. That was it.
It would be Mr. America in Boise, Idaho. I don't know which Mr. I don't know which tournament you're talking about, Coach, but I don't think it's Mr. America.
That's so good.
How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. Actually, just got off the treadmill. You know, Jake was motivating me here, and life is good. I mean, just I've got one shot in, waiting for the second shot, and games are being played. No one's going on strike, and life is good.
God bless you. So, Hoodie and I, we'll get to some of the games in a second. Tom Izzo, who I just love. Tom Izzo, one of his players, got into it coming off at halftime after they gave up a shot that was an open look, and Iz was furious. Draymond Green's on Twitter going, everybody relax. This is what happens. It's not a big deal. I don't think it's a big deal, but there are people in our society today that do. What did you think about what happened at the end of the half?
The only thing that counts is quite honestly what Brown thinks is. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, what Gabe thinks. Because here's the deal. Michigan State has an interesting culture. I mean, and Tom's one of my probably my two or three closest friends. So I've been to 8,000 practices. That's how they coach. That's how they practice. That's how they interact. I mean, Gabe was, you know, giving his point. Coach was giving his point. Gabe walked away. Coach grabbed his jersey. He grabbed his jersey. Let's make this perfectly clear. To talk to him, guys stepped in. That's what they do. It's a high intensity thing, but you see the former players. What all the former players? If the former players didn't think that coach loved them and cared about him, had this special relationship with them and was in it with them and just wanted the very best for them, there would have been silence. But there wasn't silence. This is part of who we are. This is what winning looks like. We're fiercely competitive. We're fiercely passionate. We hold each other accountable. We do everything with a high intensity and a toughness and a mindset, and that's who we are. And, you know, it's not for everyone, but the guys that come to Michigan State, they understand it, and they understand Tom's passion and how much he loves them, and it's let's move on. I agree with Draymond. Relax.
Yeah.
Steve Smith steps in. I mean, I don't know how many former players stepped up and got on Twitter and said, whoa, everyone just take a step back. This is what winning looks like. This is how we do it. This is the passion and the love we have for each other and the accountability we hold each other to.
Coach, when you take a look at Loyola and Georgia Tech, has your opinion changed on that game since we heard about what's happening with Moses Wright from Georgia Tech?
Yeah, totally changed because Moses Wright's a big part of what they do. He's the most outstanding player in the ACC. He gets some extra easy baskets. He can play in the high post. He can play in the elbow. He can play on the baseline. He gets to the glass. He can protect the rim a little bit. And more importantly, in that 1-3-1 zone that changes to a 2-3 that, you know, kind of rotates into a man-to-man, I mean, it's literally a versatile defense. He's a big part of it. So now the game, so much pressure will be on Jose Alvarado. And Michael DeBoe, and I just think it's just too much against such a well-coached Loyola team, a team that doesn't turn it over, doesn't beat themselves, that's fiercely competitive. I totally flipped my selection.
So, Coach, you've been down this road. You've had Virginia Tech and Long Beach and South Florida. Porter Moser's making a great buck. But it's not anywhere close to what they make in the Big Ten, the Big 12, the SEC. If he said to you, Seth, I have a beautiful home, my family's really happy, but I'm in a league that more often than not is a one big bid league. And if we get upset at some point, we don't go to the tournament, and I can make a ton more money, but it may be a really difficult job. Minnesota, Iowa State, places like that, which might be the next step. What would your advice to him be?
He's got a difficult job. I mean, let's face it. I mean, the expectation that he's created. Now, is Loyola the best job in that league? It's probably Loyola in Northern Iowa, I would think. Would you guys think that?
Yep, that's
probably
fair.
So he's got
that's
one
fair.
Or two best jobs in the league. So he's got, you know, maybe a 30%, 40% chance to go to the NCAA tournament. He loves where he lives. He's, you know, you don't mess the whole life. Don't mess with happy.
Yep.
That's true. But if you can make generational money, then you have to look at it. So you got to say, all right, who am I and how do I win? All right, who am I as a coach, as a program, as a family? How do I win? And what I mean by that is I can do things the way I want to do them here at Loyola, and I think we're going to continue to win. My family's happy. All right, am I able to run a program and do it the way I want to do it, with integrity, with character, with the type of kids I want to coach, and do that and win at the school X, Y, or Z? And really, that's the big question. So, I mean, is DePaul the right place? Because he wouldn't even have to get up and move, but it's a higher league. We'll probably double his paycheck, maybe. Minnesota, I don't know. I mean, it's a tough job, but it's in the Big Ten, and you're going to be, if you're one of eight or nine teams, you can get to the NCAA tournament. He's got to believe he can do that. There are players in the state. Yep, maybe. I would make sure I stay in my comfort zone. But if someone's going to offer him $3 million a year for 5 years, in a place he thinks he can win and be happy. So I'll tell you one thing. You know, money's great, but if you can't win, you're miserable. As you guys, Cap, you understand that.
Yep.
And if you're miserable, your family's miserable. So he's got to evaluate, all right, is it a geographic footprint that I can recruit to? Do I have relationships in that area? The facilities and the commitment, not just to me, but to the program. Because here's the big thing. Your investment equals your expectation. So it's great a school can throw a bunch of money at them, but what about the other things? What about the practice facility? What about the way they travel? What about the way they conduct their daily business? What about the support staff? What about the environment? Because it's harder and harder right now, because when they change this rule and you're going to have a one-time transfer exception, it's free agency, man. You're going to see 5 and 6 guys leaving schools a year. You've seen it already. The whole Penn State team has put himself in the portal. I think South Florida team has 5 guys in the portal right now. You're not going to be losing one guy. You could be losing a whole team. And when there are coaching changes, you for sure will lose a majority of your team. So you better understand, how you're going to win at that school. You're going to have to. Is he going to be happy taking 3 transfers a year? Is he going to be happy, maybe having to take a JUCO or two? Is he going to be happy, doing things in a different manner in which he feels comfortable? And I think that all weighs into the equation. If I was Loyola, I'd give him a lifetime contract.
Yeah.
Great call.
Seth, how do you compare the 04-05 Illini with D. Brown, Luther Head, Darren Williams, that team, to what Brad Underwood has with this team?
It's kind of interesting, actually, because that's a great backcourt. I think the difference is it's, Baby Shaq. I mean, Baby Shaq's a difference maker. The job they've done with him, his agility, his footwork, his ability to duck in and score, really impressive. I love this team. Here are a couple of reasons why I love this team. I love this team, number one, because when Andre Corbello jumps on Brad's back after that win,
yes,
it shows a coach and a team connected. Mm-hmm. It shows a joy and a true trust in your coaches and in being in the moment. That doesn't happen everywhere. It happened with Georgetown when they won their championship this weekend. But when a coach and a player and a team are connected, you're going to win the games you're supposed to win without it. To win the games you need to win, you have to see what you just saw in that snippet of Corbello jumping on top of Brad's back. I thought that was, to me, all of a sudden, the light bulb went on in my head and said, ooh, these dudes are for real. The development of, not the development, the ownership maybe of Trent Frazier, the ownership of Williams, the ownership of Corbello when Io went out, huge, because in the NCAA tournament, he might go out. Now these guys think, wait a second here. We've done this. We want Io on the court. It's easier for us, but you know what? We've all grown from that experience, which I think is really, really important. And then another guy, he's not afraid to coach his team. Yep. Not afraid to coach his team.
Love it.
Coach his team hard. And you know what? Too many guys are afraid to coach their teams. Players want to be coached. If you can help a guy get better, if you can help a guy be successful, why would you be afraid to coach your team? And I see, look, I go to practices this year, I did, but I go to practices. I go to probably 50 practices a year at least. I see guys, I walk out and just shake my head and go, man, that was a joke. Like that was a joke. I mean, guys are doing defensive drills, guys are getting beat baseline, no one rotates, and guys are, oh, can you please try to get over there? You know, we got to get the help a little bit better. No, there's got to be accountability. The standard's the standard. There's a standard at Illinois right now, very similar to that earlier team, and an expectation of how you play, and you're held to that expectation. That's why I love Illinois so much.
Is there a team you look at? Like, I'm a huge St. Bonaventure guy. I think that guy can really coach, and he's tough on his kids. His kids adore him. I have St. Bonaventure not only beating LSU, but upsetting Michigan. Do you see that path for them, or is there another team that you like?
Look, I like that matchup. The problem is LSU, the dude factor comes into effect. They just got a lot of dudes. They got three pros.
Yep.
They got three pros. Now, look, I think I did a couple of their games this year. Control the tempo of the game, check. Art of the upset, all right? Physical defensively, keep you off the glass. Offensive rebound, get extra possessions, check, check. Don't turn it over, check. All right? All the things, keep you off the glass, check. Have a guard who basically can control the tempo of the game and loft and check. But those dudes on the other team are really, really good. Except they don't always play. And, it's kind of my thing. You know you got issues in recruiting when you recruit really good players, but you can't get them to play defense. I'll leave it at that.
Coach, when it comes to DePaul, we saw that Dave Leto 2.0 did not work, so he was let go this week. What should Dwayne Peavy, the AD, look for in a head coach in this market?
Well, if he can, he should get Kenny Payne. No brainer. Kenny Payne can coach. Kenny Payne has got an incredible ability to connect with players. Kenny Payne, obviously, is a great recruiter. He's a world-class person. I got to know Kenny really well when he was in Kentucky. He's the best. So, I mean, I don't know if you can move him from the NBA. Obviously, the Knicks are winning. He's doing a great job again. But that would be my first call. And then I'd get on the phone with Cal and say, Cal, can you help me convince him that he needs to be a head coach?
What about a guy like Frank Martin, who I think would be awesome in this town?
I'd love Frank. Frank would be right there with it. He'd be right there with it. Frank Martin is a coach's coach. I knew Frank Martin when he was an assistant coach at Miami High to Shaky Rodriguez. He didn't miss any steps. People see Frank Martin in the Final Four and the success that he had, and he didn't miss any steps. He was a high school assistant coach, a high school head coach, an assistant coach at Northeastern. He worked his way up. And when guys don't miss steps, they understand the potential pitfalls. And the way he's been treated at South Carolina is mind-boggling to me.
We appreciate you taking time, man. Huge fans of you.
Oh, Cap, appreciate it. Get on that treadmill, Cap. Come on, you got to tighten it up. Let's go, baby. Let's get a workout. Here we go.
Have a great day. You're the best. There he is, the great Seth Greenberg. Longtime coach and then just a star on television. All right. Bears say goodbye to one of their top defenders. That's next.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bop, 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 bop.
And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Stop yelling at JR. That's enough, Danny. He can't control the music. What do you want, Guar?
I gotta keep him in line sometimes, Hoodie.
He wanted Guar.
What's going on?
They're yelling at each other because Danny wants a certain song played. He can't help it.
I coach like Tom Izzo.
Wow. I love Seth, what he said about Tom Izzo and about hard coaching. And Brad Underwood's a hard coach. His players adore him. So, yeah, it's just the great programs, that's what goes on.
Yeah, that's not where my mind is when it comes to what we saw from Michigan State. It's not about Izzo trying to get the kids' attention. is I just want to know if the kid wants to be coached.
You mean when he disrespected and walked away?
Yeah.
But
that's my angle. It's not because we've seen this too many times with Michigan State. Look, clearly Izzo does not mind the face-to-face confrontation. I don't. That's not even my angle. My angle is, hey, kid, understand, when the coach pulls your shirt tail, turn around and listen. Just listen to what he's got to say. That's all.
Okay,
he's going to get in your kitchen and he's going to tell you something that you didn't do right. And so just listen to him.
Okay, so that kid's name is Jonathan Hood Jr. How do you think he should have handled it? How would you?
You turn around and listen to the coach, because that's what I would do if I was a player.
So if that was your kid, your response after it would be, why are you disrespecting your coach by turning away from him?
Yep. That's my perspective, but I wasn't there. I just know what that looks like on television.
Right.
You're there to be coached. Listen to him. You mm-hmm. don't rip away from the coach and pull your shirt tail away from him and then run away. That's not how to handle things.
Correct.
Because if you do that in basketball, you'll do that in life.
Correct.
Just run away from conflict.
Correct.
Well, why? Because you're petulant? Because you didn't get your way? Because you don't want to listen to discipline or instruction? If that is a microcosm of this is who you are in life. I'm not listening to you. I'm going to do it my way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, your way may not be the winning way.
Correct. That guy's in the Hall of Fame.
That's why I would tell my kid, Danny.
But maybe he walked away because he had reached his breaking point, and he knew if I stand here and take any more of this, I'm going to do or say something I shouldn't. So he walked away to kind of cool off. Like, all right, I got it, coach. I heard what you said. You made your point. It's enough already. And if I stay here any longer, we're both going to regret it.
You know, there's a way to diffuse that a different way mm-hmm. besides just pulling it, you know, pulling away from the coach and saying, get away from me. That's what it looked like. Come on, that's a better way to do that.
Or maybe you mentioned TV, you know, in this day and age, everybody is so concerned about their, you know, how they appear on social media, how they appear on TV. Maybe he just didn't want to become a gift today. You know, he knew I'm being yelled at by Tom Izzo. He's pulling my shirt on national TV. Everyone's seeing this. Maybe I just want to get in the locker room so I'm not a joke today.
Here's a GIF. I mean, so here's the GIF that I would make, because someone's going to make that, right?
GIF or GIF?
And, both.
Okay.
Why do you say it that way? Is it whip? It's cool whip.
Whip.
Why do you say it that way? It's whip. It's not cool whip. It's whip. Nonetheless.
Cool whip.
Nonetheless, it's Friday. And Pfizer is in my arm. So I look at it like this, man. I just like, you know, the GIF would be Michigan State loses another lead.
Mm-hmm.
They already had it. Then like he's tearing away. That would be the GIF. Like there is the picture of Izzo losing the lead as he loses a grip on the kid's jersey.
And the kid's going up the tunnel.
Right, exactly. Right. Like he already made a scene. Don't make a scene, Cap. Cap, there's no reason. So that's my angle. It's not, oh, Izzo's being abusive. Izzo's going out. That's not how I look at it, because that's Tom Izzo's program. I look at it from the kid's standpoint. How does that look for you?
You stand there, you let him finish. It was always said to me, don't listen to how he's saying it, listen to what he is saying. You stand there, he's the authority figure, he's your coach. Yes, you can go back at him, and he encourages that. We've seen it. But that situation, you don't turn your back on the coach. That's disrespectful.
Now, you were saying about Kyle Fuller.
Kyle Fuller is now a free agent because the Bears asked him to take, as Diana Rossini said, a major pay cut. And if I'm Kyle Fuller, okay, hold on a second. If I'm on the Chiefs, you need me to take a pay cut because we're going to try and keep Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and on and on and on. Okay, I get it. But you want me to stay here so you can sign Andy Dalton? So you can't get a long-term deal done with Allen Robinson? So you think you're going to be able to maybe get to 9 wins and get to the playoffs? Maybe. Yeah, I'm out of here. I'm going to go. If I'm going to take a pay cut, I'm going somewhere where I think I got a chance to get a ring.
Better be close. And by the way, his destination might be Denver. You're not close there either.
Right.
But at least he likes Fangio.
What if it's Green Bay?
Wow. That could be.
Uh-huh. What if it's San Francisco?
Yeah, if I have my druthers, I'm trying to go to a place where I can be close to a ring. See, you, as you mentioned, you only take the cut if you're close. Like, okay, I don't want to do this, but you're going to make me whole on the other side somehow. Don't worry, we'll get your money, but not right now. Just do this cut because we're pretty close, but you're not close.
But back to your previous topic, to combine them both, you will allow hard coaching if you see a path that, hey, man, we have a chance to win here. I get it. But if the guy's going to be all over you all the time and you're 4-24, I'm not dealing with this. It's not working, obviously.
Kevin,
right?
Yeah, Kevin O'Neill.
He went to the Sweet 16.
I understand that, but there was some lean years, too.
No question. No question. Like, so when he was at Northwestern, like his last year, they were horrible.
Yeah.
Do I want to get that, and there's no payoff at the other end? Bob Knight. Hey, man, when I feel like we win a national title, I'll deal with it. The late Eric Anderson, your high school classmate.
Mm-hmm.
I said, where would you go? Because he was brutal on you. I'd go to Indiana 7 days a week and twice on Sunday. It was the greatest experience of my life. It's not for everybody. But he said, if you told me we had no chance to win, totally different.
You can't dog cuss me and we lose and we got no culture.
Correct.
Can't do that.
Correct.
Can't do that.
Agreed.
You, now you're just taking out your losses and your ineptitude on me.
Correct.
It's like, you're not teaching me. You're just yelling.
You're not going to recover, Greg Graham.
I mean, at least that guy got mods. Like, he can yell at me all day. It's Bob Knight. Of course.
Yeah.
Say what you want to say. I'm still going to do it my way. Or you can pull me.
Let's go to Ray in Plainfield. Hey, Ray, what's up, man?
So my question, Hoodie, you said, you know, it's a microcosm of how you're going to react to adversity when you grow up. Let me ask, if you were sitting at your desk and your boss came and yelled and screamed at you for something he thought you did wrong, would you just take it, or would you be like, hey, look, why don't you go calm down a little bit, and then we can have a chat? Now, mind you, it's your authority figure. He's your boss. Kind of the same thing, right?
No, totally different. A boss is totally, totally different than a coach-player relationship. It just is.
Why? Why? Okay, what if he's your mentor? Maybe not your boss, your mentor.
And if he's yelling and screaming at me about something I didn't do,
yeah.
Well, there's always
or you sent an email to the wrong person. It could be trivial, but isn't it the better way just to come and say, hey, look, if this is what went wrong, this is what we have to do to fix it, and let's move on. Have the conversation.
Yes, the honor community.
Most places.
Go ahead.
Most places, the boss or the your mentor don't come and yell and scream at you. And get in your face.
Yeah, we will agree to disagree on this, Ray, because the coach-player relationship in the heat of the moment in a win or your season's over tournament, it's just totally different. It's totally different than sitting at your desk.
He's asking about bosses, right? So I've gotten into it with bosses in the past or those that are authority figures at the station. I've been through that before. But it's the art of communication that gets us through, right? You're yelling at me of something I didn't do or you're getting on my case. Well, we're going to have a conversation. It doesn't have to be heated on the other end, but we can have a conversation. You were privy to something just a few weeks ago in that regard. It wasn't heated.
No.
It was my point of view versus Mike's point of view, and we were able to squash it because of the art of communication.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
No matter how mad he got, I still had my point of view, but it wasn't going to be to the point where we're yelling and turning tables over.
Correct.
That's not happening.
Correct.
I'm just saying from that kid's standpoint, listen to what Izzo has to say. It's going to help you, whatever it is. It's something that you did not do that he saw. But I'm not on the side of Izzo's abusive, and this happens too often where he's got to grab a player or whatever. This is not old school grabbing the helmet, the face mask, and then jerking it around. That's not where we are today in 2021.
Agreed.
Guess what? Izzo knows that too.
He does. 100%. And then when you see all his former players all coming to his defense, dude, that's our guy. We love that guy.
Well, aside from the Michigan State grads and everyone that was in the – I don't – Draymond Green's going to say that. Steve Smith's going to say that. I have no ties to Michigan State program. I'm telling you that I've seen Izzo enough to know that the guy's trying to coach and teach.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, the Michigan State guys, there's not going to be – you're going to get Mateen Cleaves on Instagram saying that coach was wrong. That's not happening.
Correct.
But from my unbiased point of view, knowing, seeing Izzo over the years, I just think that the kid was in the wrong for not listening in that moment. Hey, you know, you've seen this all the time also. Put your arm around the coach. Diffuse the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Let him yell at you all the way up to the tunnel.
I got you, coach.
You see it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, put your arm around the coach. I know he's pissed. Tell me what you want to tell me and just yell at me so that way the cameras don't see you grabbing at my shirt tail and me trying to run away.
Someone told me a great story in the 84 Olympic trials. They said the best player on the floor was Michael Jordan. Not even a question. The second best player was Charles Barkley. Not even a question.
Mm-hmm.
And Barkley missed an assignment, and their in a game. This is pre-Olympics, and Knight is going off. And instead of Chuck barking back at him, he just looks at Coach. I have a question. What? Where'd you buy those ugly ass shoes? And it diffused everything, but it drove Knight crazy. But the rest of the team was like, oh, this is awesome. And he cut Charles Barkley. And that comment infuriated Bob Knight. Love to ask Chuck about that one day.
Lunatic. There's a difference
there.
But
that's how he diffused it rather than getting in his face and going back at him.
The lunatic fringe of Bob Knight.
He was tough, man. That guy was, wow. 312-332-3776. Friday, folder in your calls. Next.
Get social with our new morning show. Follow on Twitter at Cap J Hood.
Cap and J Hood.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Oh, hi, and welcome to Letters with George. I'm your host, Owner George, and I can't wait for the upcoming season because Ryan and Matt are football guys, and boy, they have put together quite the offseason for the Chicago Bears. Of course, there are so many letters that come in from far and wide that want to reach out and ask questions about their Chicago Bears. And I have a letter here that was overnighted, and I want to share it with you. It's from Joy in Johnsburg, Illinois. It says, Dear George, you are the reason why I stopped watching the Bears. How could you let go of Kyle Fuller? And you signed that red rifle Andy Dalton. I want you and everyone else at House Hall to go to hell. Well, oh my stars. Dear Joy, thank you so much for your letter. I want you to know that my family and I will not be going to hell this summer. Instead, we're going to St. Kitts. Signed, George. And go Bears. So you take this letter, fold it up real nice, and we send it off to the courier. Thanks so much, and go Bears.
Because it's Friday.
It's time for the Friday Folder.
And you ain't got shit to do.
On the Cap and J Hood Show.
Wow. Not even the flagship. We get the owner to do a segment. It's so awesome. Wow. Anyway, time for the Friday Folder, and it's brought to you by the wonderful people at APT, A-B-T, APT Electronics in Glenview. Danny?
Gentlemen, the Texans quarterback for now, Deshaun Watson, accused of sexual assault in third civil lawsuit.
Yeah, we saw that story come across, and we come to find out that the women, the accusers all have the same attorney.
And the numbers, how many now?
What are we up to now?
About 10.
9 or 10?
And apparently that attorney is like Saul Goodman from Better Call Saul. He advertises on TV.
Yeah.
I feel like the movie Wild Things where Bill Murray's playing the lawyer. Okay, Mr. Bowden, I feel like it's that guy.
Yeah.
And we're going to get a payday.
I don't know what to make of it. Again, we have to continue to watch as the story progresses. But when you're up to 8 or 9 and they're all represented by the same attorney, I'm not saying that it's not true. But it's something to look at, and I wonder about Watson's future, not just with the Texans, but the NFL.
Yes.
Gentlemen, this just in from Tom Pelissero. The Browns are re-signing kicker Cody Parkey.
Oh, my God. How good was he, Cap? Because
right,
I understand that maybe he had a little bit of a turnaround with the Browns. I'll just never forgive him for what he did not do for the Bears. And then the next day, he's with Hoda Kotb on the Today Show. That was nonsense.
So this year, he kicked in 15 of 16 games. He was 19 of 22 on field goals, 43 of 47 on extra points. He had a 86.4% field goal percentage success, 91.5 on extra points, and he had a reasonably solid year.
So we chuck it up, Danny, another ex-Bear flourishing someplace else. How about that? I mean, here we go.
Is our city really that tough? Is it that hard?
Leonard Floyd with a brand new deal. And just, it's amazing.
Does Cleveland have a dome that I don't know about?
Danny. He might still have been a Bear if he didn't go on Good Morning America or whatever to the Today Show and put his foot in his mouth. Gentlemen, the NFL cuts a lucrative new deal through the 2033 season with Fox, CBS, NBC, ESPN, and Amazon Prime. There will be Super Bowls on ABC.
So a couple of things that come to mind for this, Cap. When there's live programming, especially live sports, people will watch. It's still a lucrative business. ESPN ABC is in the Super Bowl business for the first time. That is a milestone. That's amazing.
Huge.
Huge for the company.
Yeah, Amazon, and Danny mentioned all these. $10 billion. I don't care what they lost last year in the pandemic. Would the Bears lose $183
million? $183 million, according to Brad.
But guess what? They'll be just fine.
Now, we got to think about the Amazon piece of this, too. Amazon. Nobody wanted the Thursday night football package, but Amazon took it.
We got it.
How about that? No network wanted it because of the bad matchups. But Amazon's going to have it. Change your viewing habits. It's not going to be on your Channel 2, Channel 5. Figure out how to watch Amazon Prime.
Correct.
How about that, Danny? What a change.
And people will watch. I have Amazon Prime. I'm certainly going to watch it.
100%.
That is amazing. Now, that's a whole change now. They're going to get the Super Bowl II at some point, Amazon.
On Amazon?
They? At some point. If you already stuck your toe in the Thursday Night Football waters.
You're ready.
At some point. Keep in mind the divorce for Bezos, right?
Mm-hmm.
He gets divorced. What was the number, Danny? Yeah, that's really up your alley. $30 million, something like that, that he had to pay?
No, 75.
$75 million he had to pay? Yeah, he made that up in like 2 weeks.
Exactly.
What he had to pay her, he's already made that money back. That's Jeff Bezos.
It's unbelievable.
So that was a $150 billion divorce.
Billion with a B?
That's what I'm reading.
I thought that's what they split and that she got 75 of it. She just got remarried last week.
Are you reading the internet wrong? Are you that's a big divorce.
No,
that's,
she got $1.7 billion, and she's donating it to 119 nonprofits.
Giving my money away. But when you get FU money, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
He's fine.
He calls it his happiness fund.
The pandemic was great for him. Like, nobody enjoyed the pandemic more than Jeff Bezos.
Wow. So that's why I think at some point, Cap, that the Super Bowl and Amazon will be synonymous. It'll happen.
Crazy.
And it shows you how television has changed.
I think you're right.
Gentlemen, according to Mike Florio, a 17-game NFL season is a done deal for 2021.
Well, they don't care about the players. And they don't care about the health of the players. Now, listen, the money that the players are going to be making with the 17, it doesn't make up for the injuries and the banging up and the broken bones and all that. It doesn't.
I agree with you 100%, but if the players truly, truly were against it, say we're not doing it. Get united. We are not playing a 17th game.
Well, you need to have a player rep with some teeth.
But it's like...
As when Demoris Smith works for not only the players, but the owners as well.
Correct. But it's like in baseball. I can't believe they manipulated Chris Bryant's service time. Yeah, well, guess what? The players signed off on that collective bargaining deal. They have just as much blame here as the owners.
Yeah, I'll always be wrong on that, right? I know the wear and tear of the players, but what are you going to do about it if you're the Players Association? You going to fight that or just allow it to happen? We knew it was going to happen.
No doubt.
We knew because of gambling and everything else there was going to be an extra game. We knew it. It was going to come.
Gentlemen, the Oklahoma City Thunder trade Trevor Ariza to the Miami Heat for Myers Leonard.
So if I'm a Miami Heat fan, and I'm Jewish, I'm pissed off. So you let this guy just throw out be an anti-Semite on Twitch as he's playing video games, and you don't get rid of him right away? What if that was the N-word? How quickly would he be gone?
Correct. He would never have been traded. Never.
But it took a week. I don't know why
they would have released him, right?
I don't know why you and Danny are not more disappointed or upset, or JR are upset about this, because to me, from my standpoint, from my seat, that's not right. He uses that word because it's on the tip of his tongue, right? Because everyone uses it, right? Not everyone says that. But that guy is on Twitch playing a video game, and he stays there because of what JR told me earlier. Well, there's value. We'll get Trevor Ariza. Screw the value.
I mean, we like a good value. A good deal? If it's a good deal, it's a good deal.
Make a stance.
Danny, a week?
Listen, the whole story makes me sick, but, like, unfortunately, we're used to that. You know, I've been clinging to the Dwayne Wade thing for the last year. Dwayne Wade liked Nick Cannon's tweet that was anti-Semitic. We've forgiven Dwayne Wade. He's on every broadcast possible. Because he's handsome and he's married to Gabrielle Union and he's a Hall of Famer, somehow he's been forgiven. If it was, somebody, like you said, making a racist slur, would we be that quick to forgive him?
You don't hear about Kramer anymore.
Of course. Probably not. It would be cancel culture. But because he's Dwayne Wade and he's taking a shot at something anti-Semitic, let's give him a pass. Let's forgive him.
The Jewish owners with Miami Heat should also be scolded for this and be taken over the coals. You're going to let that guy just linger on your franchise because of values? Like, well, that'll take a cap hit. We'll just keep him around. That ain't right. It's not right.
They should have called the press conference the next day and said, we are releasing him. I don't care what it does to our cap. We're making a statement.
Go ahead, Danny. Danny.
All right.
Danny.
Gentlemen, I've got so many more, but we got to get to the best trends. Today's a gambling day with the DeFalco.
That's true.
We will have Carmen DeFalco, gambling trend guru, next. Hey, this hour brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. Mortgage interest rates have started to rise. The Home Loan Expert office, we are still locking in loans in the twos. How much can you save? HomeLoanExpert.com.
Scratch your morning sports itch.
This is Cap and Jay Hood, our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app.
All right, with Hoodie, I'm Cap. Carmen for best trends, but Danny needs to jump in because there's something of interest. Daniel?
Guys, this is very interesting. This morning on Get Up on ESPN, Adam Schefter was on. He was asked if the, you know, possible Russell Wilson trade situation is over. He answered no. And then he said in quote, I'm told that the Bears are still paying close attention to Russell Wilson and they have not abandoned hope.
Clearing off cap space for Russell Wilson.
Getting ready to trade Andy Dalton.
Is that why Fuller is still gone? Hicks could be gone. Is that what they're doing that for? It's not over.
Hey, they only need to cover about 19 schmil if they acquire Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
My jaw just hit the console because
it ain't happening.
I don't think it is, but the more.
You know what they say about Hope and Shawshank, Carl?
The more I watch this franchise, and my heart's tied up in it like you guys and everybody listening. I get it. So hold on a second. Mike Glennon, well, I've been promised this year's mine. Like three freaking years later, we're doing the exact same thing. Can you not see a scenario where they go to a draft party this year, virtually, and there's Andy Dalton, and they go, Chicago has made a major trade. They are moving up to whatever the number is, getting that guy.
Yes, I absolutely think that could happen. 100%.
Andy, I thought you said you were the starter. I thought I was.
Bears select Trey Lance in round one, and by week seven, he's playing. I could absolutely see that scenario.
Time for best trends with Carm. As you take a look now.
I can't even deal with it anymore.
Oh, no. We got
boys,
a bigger fish to fry.
Let's take a look. Boys. It's on.
A bigger fish to fry on a good Friday. A good Friday for all of us.
That's right. It is a very good Friday.
Because it is March Madness. Tell me what stands out to you most
in day one. I'll tell you one thing. I know people say, hey, you don't want to be too chalky. You don't want to be too chalky. But the chalk does, the cream does rise to the top a lot, boys. A number one seed has won this tournament. 10 of the last 13 tournaments. Of course, there was no tournament last year. A number one seed has won, and the betting favorite has won in two of the last three. And I think everybody knows Gonzaga and Illinois taking by far the most money to win this whole thing in Vegas. BetMGM actually has more money on Illinois than any other team. Most of the other books have Gonzaga. I'll give you something early here right out of the gate. 7-10, Florida and Va Tech. This is kind of hung around a pick 'em, maybe Florida minus a point, a point and a half all week. Florida is 20-8 against the spread in its last 28 first-round games. And since 2000, the Gators are 13-3 straight up in the opening game of the dance. The last time Florida lost its first-round game was 2010 after their second consecutive title when they lost in double overtime. So Florida has historically been pretty good in this first game on the opening weekend, even though I don't love that team. I think Trey Mann's probably the best player in the game. So I like Florida a little bit on the money line. Again, that's about a pick'em or a one-point spread. They've done very well in opening rounds. I know everybody's on Colgate, but I would just say Arkansas has eight wins against teams in the NCAA tournament. Arkansas has Moses Moody, who's going to be a lottery pick in the NBA. Colgate's KenPom adjusted defensive efficiency rating is 140th in the country. So tread lightly here. Colgate didn't play a team outside the Patriot League, obviously. A lot of people love it. Sexy pick. I won't tell you to lay the lumber with Arkansas, but just be mindful of that as we get ready for it. That's one of the first games of the day.
Tell us about one-bid teams that are in the tournament that you do like. I'll give you an example. Like Tyler likes there's a couple of teams that he likes, but sometimes he can kind of look at the numbers and say, oh, you know what, maybe, right? Maybe pull the trigger. You're not sure on Colgate.
Not sure on Colgate, but I like – look, I think everybody likes Ohio, and rightfully so. Ohio, if you watched Ohio play Illinois earlier this year, you know Ohio can play a little.
Could have won that game.
They could have. In Virginia, come on. I mean, they're getting there today. They've got a test today. They need to test again after midnight. If everything goes well, they'll practice – tomorrow afternoon and then play tomorrow night. I just watch them win by 20, but I don't know. I just think logistically, that's a lot to ask, man. I'm sorry. I think it's a lot to ask Virginia. You know, as good as Georgia Tech can be and maybe the best team in the ACC without Moses Wright, another Moses. Moses is our Wild. I think Loyola advances today. I love that story, by the way. Well, there's a member of the Georgia Tech traveling party that tested positive for COVID. A member of the traveling party, the towel boy, the equipment manager, the ACC player of the year. That's the member of the traveling party.
6'9" guy.
The ACC player of the year is the member of the traveling party that tested positive for COVID. So I think that's a huge loss for Georgia Tech. I do like Loyola today, too.
Cap, Tyler likes Winthrop in the 6.5 against
everybody.
The handsome Jay Wright.
When they lost Gillespie, their guard, he just had successful knee surgery. Yeah. He's not even with the team. He's the spark plug of that whole team. Jay Wright was on an interview yesterday. He said, look, it was devastating to lose him. That is a big problem because Winthrop's really, really good.
Winthrop's got one loss. Now, obviously, they don't play the level of competition that Villanova does or that someone from the Big Five does. But, man, Nova limped to the finish, guys. And I think Cap's right. With Colin Gillespie's injury to his knee takes away one of the best players in that conference and one of the best players in this tournament, I think that's tough. Jay Wright can really coach. It's not a game I'll be playing today. I actually picked Villanova to win that game in my brackets just because sometimes I like being on the other side of what everybody's picking, and the whole world loves Winthrop. So I picked Villanova to win one game and go out. I won't sweat it too much one way or the other, but it's not a game I'm playing today.
I like Colorado to make a little bit of a run.
Yeah, that's another one here. Like, a lot of people are in Georgetown after last weekend, right?
But I like Colorado.
I'm kind of with you. I'm with you on that, Cap. And I know they didn't have a great showing in the Pac-12 tournament, but I think that's a step up in class big time. And just because Georgetown got hot last week, I'm not so sure they can keep it continue this week in Indy. I agree with you on that one.
And same Bonaventure. That's
probably the best game of all the 8-9s, especially with the injury to Moses Wright that maybe makes the Loyola-Georgia Tech game not as good. That's the best game, I think, in all the 8-9 matchups. I think that's a great game. I've got LSU making a little run in this tournament, but I wouldn't be shocked. These two coaches know each other very, very well.